Radha Sudhanidhi. We're just finishing this one verse 18 with all the different oceans of Radharani. It's short, and the last one is Kali Sindhu. She's an ocean of transcendental sports, amorous, sportive pastimes, ocean of playfulness, an ocean of sportive, amorous pastimes. Because Kali means that. It doesn't just mean playful pastimes, but playful, sportive, amorous pastimes. Whenever Radharani meets intimately with Shyam, she immerses Shyam in billowing waves in the ocean of her sportive gestures and delightful playfulness. As one becomes cleansed by bathing in an ocean of salt water, one who faithfully hears and chants about Radha Madhava's conjugal pastimes become cleansed and free from all his sins and heart disease of lust. Rogam kamam. However, if one tries to imitate Radha Madhava's amorous affairs, he will perish. So Radhika is an ocean of sportive amorous pastimes, Kali Sindhu. She's compared to the first cosmic ocean, the ocean of salt water. Thus ends the description of the seven oceans of Radharani's different guna mahima by Prabodhananda Saraswati. So this ocean of salt water, because if you fall in an ocean of liquor, you get intoxicated. If you fall in an ocean of oil, you get really oily. And if you fall, and you have to clean yourself. You slip and slide. You can't make much progress. If you fall in an ocean of milk, you'll just drink and get a bad stomach. And if you fall in an ocean of yogurt, you'll get constipated. But the ocean of salt water is actually cleansing, because salt is a cleansing agent. So the skin becomes cleansed. And everyone has that experience. If someone lives by the ocean, or they grow up by the ocean and swim regularly, if they're on the land and playing here and there and they get some cut, the thing actually cuts, everything heals, not just because they're children, but because the effect of the salt water and all the minerals in salt water is not only cleansing to the skin, but also it aids the curing process. The healing process is much faster if someone's bathing in the ocean than just walking around the land. This is proven. So this is text 102. This is describing Radharani's qualities of her form, her Divya Kalevram, her transcendental form. Extremely rustic description of her form. But this is, it's interesting. It follows this ocean of Kali Sindhu. We heard how Radharani is a Kali Sindhu, an ocean of amorous sports and play. But then, how is it she's such an ocean of that? What gives her the qualities that satisfy Krishna to unlimited depths and unlimited expanses? So then Prabhupada Saraswati explains in verse 102, Lajanta Patama Arachaya Rashita Smaya Prasun Angelo Radange Navaranga Damni Lalita Prastavane Yovane Shroni Himavarasane Smara Nripenadi Nripen Adyashite Mohanam Lila Panga Vichitra Tandava Kala Panditya Unmilati. So she's a pundit of these. We heard this before. So one translation is that Radharani's form and all her different aspects of her form, he says like this, his translator, the rising curtain of shyness, the Lajapata Marchayam. Her body is like a rising curtain of shyness, flower showers of mild smiles. Rachita Smaya Prasun Anjali, Angelo. And in Radha's bodily features, a fresh arena of sports. Radha Anga Navaranga Damni. Her Anga, her form is a dam. It's a dam of Navaranga. Ever new and playful, delightful sports for the sportster known as Krishna. That is his sporting arena. And then it says that her body is especially a fresh arena of sports, of love sports, her beautiful bodily features. During the most charming beginning of mature youth, which is, he describes here, the prasta, prastavane yovane, lalita prastavane yovane. And then he says, Prabhupada Saraswati, Radharani's hips are an elevated golden lion throne, shoni hema varasane, upon which is situated the master ruler of the god of love, smaran ripen adi, asite mohanam. So that mohanam, Madan Mohan, this is his asan. He has a very special asan that he's sitting on the lap, the beautiful hips of Radharani, lap, whatever you want to say, ruling his kingdom, and his kingdom is the kingdom of erotic love. The king has his royal asan, and it should be located in the capital of his kingdom. There's a capital somewhere, and there's a big palace, and you go in that palace, and there's the darshan room, and the king has a big asan. And then he sits there and rules his subjects and holds assemblies. So Krishna's, his kingdom is the kingdom of Shringar Rasadham. And the capital of that kingdom is the transcendental form of Radharani. So within that capital of Radharani's transcendental form, there's one very beautiful, golden, raised, elevated, golden asan. Because asan shouldn't be just on the ground, it should be raised. So then he mounts that asan, and then he rules his kingdom. But his kingdom is very small. There's only one subject in his kingdom. There's a king and one subject. The king is Rasaraj. He's a Raj. He's a king. His name is Rasaraj Sri Krishna. And his subject is Rasavati Rai, Radha. Rasavati Rai. She's the one and only subject. This vast, vast kingdom with this one capital city, and there's only one king and one queen. This is an amazing feature of Vrindavan. Yes? Then, Radharani is manifesting great learning of artistic skill by displaying most enchantingly variegated dances. This is, it's Kala Panditiam Unmilati. Tandava Kala Panditiam Unmilati. So she's a pundit. She's a pundit in an art. Pundit in the art. What art? The art of Tandava. Tandava is a very interesting term. Prabhupada Saraswati Tungavidya Sakhi is describing a woman, Radharani, with describing about a dance that's a male dance. The Tandava Nritya is a male dance. We don't generally hear this. Lord Shiva is doing a Tandava Nritya. It's a wild, mad dance. One leg here and one leg here. You see these sculptures of that. And a wild dance of devastation, Pralaya Nritya. Tandava Nritya stomps down and kicks down the entire universe, laughing gleefully in 11 different expansions and fire everywhere. And burning down the house, as they say. He's burning down the house that Jack built. He's burning down the house of Brahma, the entire creation. So now this is being described that Radharani is a pundit. She's a Digvijay pundit. Not an ordinary pundit, Digvijay. Because no matter what direction Krishna tries to attack her from, she defeats him. If Krishna tries to attack Radharani from the north, the south, and Radharani defeats him. So Dig means direction. Dig Vijay means all victorious. Dig Vijay Radharani Ki. Jai Shri, Jai Shri, Jai Shri. She defeats this weakling known as Krishna. And how does she defeat this weakling? Because she dances Tandava Nritya and the excitement of Eros. It's a dance. Because there's Viparita Lila. Viparita Lila is when Radharani takes the male role. So male role means Tandava. Tandava Kala Panditi. Panditiam Unmiliti. So she is manifesting great learning of artistic skill by displaying her most enchantingly variegated dance, Vichitra Tandava. Vichitra Tandava. Not this dance performance of Lord Shiva. That's an ordinary, that's the ordinary, oh, that's Shiva's Tandava. Okay, that's called Tandava Nirti Vas. But Radharani's, her dance is called Vichitra Tandava Nirtya. Acha. Wow. Variegated, most unusual display, in the most unusual setting, in the most unusual time, with the most unusual dance partner. This is Radhika. And not only is she displaying that by chance, one time she displayed this special dance, but she's a pundit. Vichitra Tandava Kala Pundit. She can teach others also. You want to learn? If you're in Sakhi Bhav, then you'll learn. Probably not, because a pundit doesn't tell everything he knows. He may be a pundit, but that doesn't mean he tells everything he knows to anyone who comes. So how does she express it? How does she manifest? How does she, this whole thing happens by displaying her lila panga vit, Lila Panga, her astonishingly playful sidelong glancing eyes. Apanga means sidelong. Lila Panga Vichitra, her eyes. So this is why it's described that Radharani's whole body is a fresh amphitheater of love sports. Another translation. Srimati Radhika her glances show wonderful expertise in dance. So it says Kanjana Akshi. Her eyes are like shifty. Radharani's name is Chanchalakshi Radha. Kanjanakshi Radha. Her eyes are darting back and forth. And so many inimitable ways that it's impossible to display. She's expert at that. So her glances, they show wonderful expert. They're actually dancing. Because if your heart is dancing, if first your heart dances, then your body dances, then your eyes dance, and everything dances. So her heart is dancing in the exhilaration of extreme ecstatic love for Krishna. Her heart is already dancing. So then her heart's coming up and coming out of her eyes, and her eyes start dancing. And in the dancing movements of her eyes, she's inviting Krishna. Come with me. Come with me to the Jamuna Pulin. Let's have ras. Let's dance in the ras. So with the exciting dancing movements of Radharani's eyes, that becomes the ras lila nirantran, an invitation to Sham to enter the rasa dance. You can write on a piece of paper, you're invited to the marriage of Mr. Jerk and Mrs. Fool. Miss Jerk and Mr. Fool. This is Nirmanchan invitation. With a paper and a pen. But Radharani, she's more ecologically minded. Doesn't want to waste paper. Or time. You have to take so much effort to go like this. It's just like, it's all done. Srimati Radhika's glances show the wonderful expertise in dancing to please the mind of the Cupid king. When a king is sitting on his throne, he's sometimes entertained by jokesters, minstrels. And they dress in funny costumes, like in the Middle Ages, and some funny things going out of their head like this, and coming down with little bells, and they ding down. And sometimes you see hippies in the 70s, like went to different concerts, and people dress like that kind of thing. Because you have to be as weird and wild as you can in order to cut the grade. You know? If you're not as weird and wild as you possibly can be, you'll never cut the grade in a hippie rock festival. At least that was in the 70s. I don't know about now. Long ago. But anyway, and historically everywhere, they have the court jesters. They're called the court jesters, the funny men, the Madhumangals. Madhumangal's a court jester, but he's a Brahmin. Usually court jesters are Shudras. They're actors, dancers. And they also, because Shudras can get a little intoxicated as part of their varna, so that makes them more joking. So they drink a little wine and they do good joking for the king. So he sits there and says, hey, bring a minstrel. So sometimes bring a dancing girl and dance. If he's in the mood of dancing girls, bring a dancing girl. The Indra has all these dancing girls. So if the king is in a humorous mood, then he should invite me. Then I'll entertain the king. So then he invites a court jester, a joker, to tell some jokes or make faces and this and that. So then sometimes that when the joker comes before the king, he simply moves his eyes to entertain the king. Moves his eyes like this and that. The king is sitting on his throne. And he's being entertained or excited. His happiness is being excited by the glances of the gesture. So in this translation of this verse, and what it's saying in the verse is that Krishna is sitting on his throne in his kingdom. It's Smaradham. And he's sitting there. And then Radharani comes into that kingdom. Of course, it's hard to separate her from his throne. But then she's glancing at him. So when the king is sitting on his throne, seeing the glances of Radharani, of her dancing eyes, then he becomes very pleased. He's sitting on the royal throne of Radharani's royal golden throne of Radha's hips. When Radharani is glancing like that at the king, and then the king may not be looking, then the king may look at the subject. He may look at the subject in his kingdom. And then Radharani becomes shy. And she hangs the golden curtain of bashfulness over the dancing stage of her youthful body, which Radha is covered with handfuls of flowers in the form of her smiles. So she's, with her dancing eyes, she's entertaining the king, and then he's admiring the dance, and then she sees that, so then she becomes shy. So the dancing stage is her youthful body. So then she takes She looks down, her eyes look down like this. She's looking, and then Krishna, they make eye contact, and Krishna, then Radharani looks down out of shyness. It says, Lajanta Patam Arachaya. Then she becomes shy at that moment when the king is glancing at her. And so then she looks down like this. And when she does that, her whole body, her eyes, because she has lotus eyes. Radharani has lotus petal eyes. So her whole body becomes, from head to toe, becomes covered with a carpet of flowers from her shyly downcast eyes in the form of smile. And then her smiles, wherein Radhika employs her youthful charms as an introduction. So this is obviously extremely unique quality of Srimati Radharani. And we'll see some discussion on this. Radhika's six sterling qualities were glorifying the various external and internal transcendental divine qualities of Srimati Radhika. And these are qualities of her heart, her most intimate treasure chest, let's say most intimate corner of her heart, which is fully absorbed in the pleasure of Krishna. And she's expressing this treasure house of her heart in a form of particular, in a particular way and form. So Radhika's six sterling qualities, and it's also can be titled, it's a title of the verse we gave, or Srimati Radhika's artfully dancing glances and smiles. So Saraswati Pad, he was meditating deeply upon Radha and Krishna's Astakali Leela, because sometimes he's praying to have a service or praying to attain a spurti again, but now he's doing Leela Smaranam in his Siddhadeya, and he's meditating deeply, and he suddenly receives a spurti of Aparan Leela. Aparan Leela is in the afternoon from 3:36 to 6 when Krishna is returning from pastures of the cows, Uttara Goshta Leela. And in his Siddha Avasta, in his spiritual body as a perfected Kinkari of Radharani, Sripad gets a glimpse of this Leela. Sri Krishna is returning from the pasturing grounds with his cows and cowherd boys. In separation from Shyam, the dancers of Braj feel one moment to be like a millennium. This, of course, is one of the symptoms of, the, in the definition of the Lakshana Mahabhav, to feel one moment to be like a million years. No one can describe how much the gopis suffer when separated from their beloved Madhav. Overcoming all obstacles, the Brajagopis run and stumble towards Krishna as soon as they hear his flute song and the mooing of the cows. Hearing this and overwhelmed, some gopis become stunned like statues. Some faint and collapse. Others swoon and are limp. And their limp bodies are dragged along by their girlfriends with tear-filled eyes. So some devotees, they all want to go there. They all want to meet Krishna. But some can't go. So then they're running. They become stunned. And the other gopis feeling compassion, empathy. Well, don't just stand there like a statue. Do something. But they realize they can't. They're frozen. Love frozen. So then the gopis grab them. Other fellow gopis pick one on each side, and then they drag their stunned bodies to go meet Krishna. Their limp bodies are dragged along by their girlfriends with tear-filled eyes. This is a most pathetic and heart-rending scene. The gopis ascend the palace rooftops to the Chandra Shalika, moon tower. Pointing towards the road to Govardhan, one Sakhi explains excitedly, "Oh, Sakhi, Radha, look! Here comes Nandanandan! Nandanandan Daro!" Observing that Krishna hasn't seen them yet, because he's busy. He hasn't noticed them, but sometimes someone's looking at someone, but they're not looking at them. So the gopis are admiring Shyam, but he hasn't noticed. Swamini, he doesn't have any coverage on his mobile hasn't picked up the coverage of her attention yet. Swamini Radha stares at Shyam to her heart's content. Because if he glances at her, then she's legend. She can't look at him eye to eye. That's why she does Kripa Kataksha. Because if Radharani looks Krishna eye to eye, then she loses control. And that's not allowed. That's a no-no. So therefore, if I look at him, I die, I'll lose everything. So better I just one corner of my eye. So that's why everywhere she's always looking at the Krishna from the corner of his eyes. It seems very strange. But that corner fully controls Krishna and keeps Radharani under control also. Because it's her corner and he's receiving it, so she's controlling him. And by only giving the corner of her eye to Shyam, she's not losing control to him, because that would never, she doesn't want to lose power in this kingdom. Drinking the sweetness of Krishna's all-attractive form. Meanwhile, the Sakis and Mandris in attendance are relishing the sight of their Ishwari, Radha, absorbed in her Priyatam. You can hear? All right, it's all right. It's okay. So I'm looking at you, look at him, look at him. So, it's Radharani's turn to stare at Krishna. And there are Radharani's Swapaksha Sakis. And Radharani's Mundri Gan, Saki Gan, there's thousands of them. And they're with Radharani in Barsana or Yavat. And she's looking from the palace rooftop, the highest possible vantage point in the palace, the Chandrashalika. And they're gazing, and Radharani is, she's run there first. She's got there first. First come, first served. So she got the first service of worshiping Krishna with her eyes. And the other gopis were happy to lose the race, because then they could win the great prize of seeing Radharani's eyes, seeing Krishna reflected in Radharani's eyes, and seeing the transformations of Radharani as she's gazing beautifully at Shyam. So they're relishing this sight. At this time, hundreds of Brajasundaris are worshipping Krishna. So worship means ghee lamps, asham, deepa, etc. So they ran up there on the palace top with lots of ghee lamps, like Kartik. No, they had another type of ghee lamp, which was much more brilliant and much more effulgent than ordinary ghee. But the ghee lamps of their love-anointed, sparkling eyes. So the ghee that made the flame was their love, their shamras. So that's the source of the flame, the ghee. And the flame is like a light, a spark. And that spark was their, the light of that fire was the sparkling gleam in their glistening eyes of love, gazing at their beloved Shyam. Because a person, when he looks at his friends here and there, his eyes have a certain shine or look. And when he looks at the one he loves, then they become a little shinier. Become a little more glistening. It's a natural, because when one looks at one or they love or whoever they love, then the heart becomes excited with the intensity of that stayurati. And that excitement of the heart creates excitement of the eyes, which gives a certain glistening. So Radharani's heart, the object of her, the supreme and one and only object of Radharani's supreme delight and utmost exciting thrill is the darshan of Shyam Sundar. So everyone's appreciating that, and then they themselves, they're offering with the ghee lamps of their... But now... So now the whole time Krishna's not knowing that all that's going on. There's a whole arti going on. There's this huge arti going on. Hundreds of ghee lamps being waved in the sky around the orbit of his face and eyes. And he's unaware of it. He's with the coward boys and the cows and busy collecting stray cows and maintaining the herd to bring them back to Nandagam. And then, suddenly, Shyam's eyes, like thirsty chakora birds, start wandering around here and there throughout the sky, as they do in the rainy season. As the chakoras do in the nighttime sky. Wandering around, looking here and there, eager to drink the sweet nectar dripping from the full moon of Radhika's face, radiant with pure love. So Krishna's eyes are often compared, Radharani's eyes, Chakori birds, or Krishna's eyes, Chakora. That's phenomenally and enough somehow exists and derive sustenance by drinking the rays of the moon. So someone might think that's somewhat inconceivable, or even, okay, not only inconceivable, but moreover, more importantly, unbelievable. That a living entity like a chakora, this is a chakora, is a bird, not just a fictitious fairy tale medieval dragons and chakora birds. It's not like that. They really existed or do exist in this world, in this jagat. So what seems unbelievable to us or unacceptable to our limited brains will also be unacceptable if you were to be told that there are human beings, such a limited thinking person would also unaccept, and he would disbelieve the point or the fact, if someone says there are yogis that live in the Himalayas, human beings with human forms like ours, to some extent, they're embodied jivas, and they don't drink any water, and they don't eat any food, but they live. So you'll say, it's unbelievable, it's not scientific, but they exist. And even they've met them and tested them for weeks on end. And what is the answer? How are they living? They're taking prana. They're taking the prana from the atmosphere, which is a primordial element. Pranavasaravedeshu shabdake purushanishu. Pranava omkar, they're taking the chanting om and breathing, and with that mantra and with breath, they're producing all the elements. Because from the most subtle thing, according to the third canto, comes the gross thing. From vibration, mantra, comes ether, air, fire, water, etc. Well, that's a fact. So we can accept that, and it is a fact of this world. And it's been proven, and those people have been seen and measured and observed. And although we haven't seen, but people have, scientists have studied and seen. It is a fact, whether we accept it or not, it's a fact. So whether we accept it, the fact or not that chakoras exist by moonbeams, we may not accept it, but it doesn't deny the fact. Oh, the sun will not set today. No, it's a fact, it will. No, I don't believe it. I don't accept it. Shoo! Oh. So we only accept things we can see. Seeing is believing. But Krishna's eyes are those chakoras. And they're thriving, they're thirsty because they only drink the rays of the moon. That's their nectar, those rays are called nectar rays. Amrit Kiran. Those nectar rays, they somehow drink those rays and they survive. So Krishna's that Krishna Chakora. So he's dying without that nourishing nectar of Radharani's glances. Suddenly noticing that Shyam is staring directly at her. The Jayashree Radha simply lowers her face and covers her head with her chunari, her veil. This gesture of tenderness completely captivates the heart of Madan Mohan. Understanding Shyam's enchantment, Mohini Radha casts a restless sidelong glance toward her Prananath to further enchant him. Because he looked and she noticed when she looked down. But while he was looking, he became so enchanted. Because by her looking down, La Jayashree, that gesture, tender shyness, that he saw Krishna's looking at Radharani and Radharani's looking at Krishna.
And when they met, then Radharani saw, oh, he saw me. Just like we see in this world, if someone is sitting somewhere and someone's staring at you, and then you can feel it, oh, there's someone behind me. If you're some woman, it's some man, or if you're some man, it's some woman. Someone's staring, and then you turn like that, and then the person that's staring at you goes, I was just looking at the ceiling fan. It's really interesting. It's Usha. It's white. It's going on speed number two. Caught. Red-eyed. Red-handed. Caught in the act of staring. So Radharani was glancing with great attachment and loving affection towards her Priyatam. And she was caught. Her attachment was revealed, and she's shy about her attachment. So the wonderful, most wonderfully attractive quality of a woman is her shyness. So then, when she saw that Krishna saw her, then she became shy. And then Krishna saw that expression of shyness, he became more captivated. And she can understand that because she has special radar, love radar. So then she, all right, now he's more enchanted. Now I will open my eyes and directly glance at him. Which she did. She shyly lowers his face, covers with a veil, understanding his enchantment. And then she takes her veil off, and then she's like this, oh yeah? And she lifts her veil and casts a glance at him. Then Radha's roving glances, like the best of dancers, perform a very artistic and attractive dance on the stage of her youthful body. The whole performance is being directed by King Cupid, who sits on the golden throne of her hips. Such a beautiful leela that Sripad is revealing to us in this verse. This is a leela that he saw, which he put in a beautiful Sanskrit pada, charpada. Is revealing to all of us in this granta, his classic rasa granta, Radharas Sudhanidhi. In his Sakhi form, Sakhi Rup, Siddhadeya, he is serving these wonderfully enchanting pastimes on the screen of his praying-filled heart. Simply by hearing this brief loving exchange between a divine couple purifies the heart, or can purify the heart, of any faithful devotee from crores and crores of sinful reactions. But more importantly, by attentively hearing this rasa-filled lila, one will attain intense attraction to Radha Shyam and increase his desire to dedicate his entire existence to their pure loving service. Radha Madhava's Madhuri Leela Ki Jai. Looking at the whole verse, we see that Saraswati Pada is using a wonderful analogy to compare Radha and Krishna's loving exchanges during Krishna's Uttara Ghosha Leela with a dramatic play being performed on the stage. Of course, I also took it one step higher. The same point can be seen because it's mentioned. It was not mentioned Uttara Ghosha, but that's what acharyas are commenting, that this is all going on with glances from the palace and the pastures. But I brought it a little closer to the in the Kunja Leela, the same setting. All the elements of a dramatic performance are mentioned in this verse. There is a stage. You have to think of a drama. To have a drama, you need a place, you need a pandal, you need a stage, a setting. There's a stage curtain. There's auspicious decorations. You see when there's some play, there's some festoons hanging and some flags and decorations in the hall. It should be made very festive and wonderful. So there's stage curtain, parda. Auspicious decorations. Then there's a dance director. Then there's a hero and a heroine, Nayak and Nayaka. So this is this verse is actually an introduction. When you go to a theater or to a live drama in a park or somewhere, and then you sit down and you'll see all these things, and the director may come out or this or that. So this whole verse is like an introduction to a drama or and a dramatic performance, a dance and a play. In drama you'll have dance, you'll have a play. So now let's examine the verse and see how the drama unfolds. Rāra-rāsura-nidhi-ki-jāya.